Well, and a funky good Friday to you. Good morning, good afternoon, good day, whenever you're listening to the Panic Podcast. This is the big podcast for Friday. Good to have you with us on the end of the week edition Bible study, in which we are looking at 1 John chapter 2. We're going to talk about counterfeit Christianity today. What in the world is counterfeit Christianity? Well, hang on. Get your Bibles open to 1 John chapter 2, and we'll find out all about counterfeit Christianity on today's Panic Podcast. Man, those guys are good. Koinonia, more than a feeling. From the early 1980s, I think it was, a group of Christian studio musicians got together a couple of times to record, I don't know, two or three albums back in the day. This was the first one. Really nice stuff there. Well, it's good to have you with us on this Friday. Beautiful, beautiful summer week where it has rained every single day. Every single day in Southwest Virginia, it has rained. As a matter of fact, Wednesday night after church. Oh, I thought I was going to die Wednesday. It was so hot and it was so humid. And we started, we have a big, I should explain, we've got a big playground on the side of our church. And we were putting up a new, a playground set, a tower, swings, the whole bit, just a really top-notch setup. Anyway, we were started putting it together Wednesday before church, and I was absolutely drenched. I think I worked for a grand total of 20 minutes. I didn't even do any hard work. I basically carried parts of this this monstrosity from the yard into the enclosure. The playground is fenced in, and I mean I was soaking wet. I have an emergency suit in my office that I have just in case I'm not dressed up and I need to get dressed up in a hurry. So needless to say, I got dressed up in a hurry for church Wednesday night. And a very, very special thank you to Jeremy Wells, who took over and started putting the thing together. He and my wife worked together on that and his kids. No small job, I assure you. So it's been a hot summer so far. I see that I've heard from Washington, D.C., and they've got heat. They got a heat wave up there. It's pushing 100, has been pushing 100 every day this week. Now, we're kind of lucky here in Southwest Virginia. We're in the Appalachian Mountains, so we don't have 100. We've got like 94. And I mean, 6 degrees makes a difference when it's like that. Our altitude, I think, moderates the temperature a little bit, but it's still pretty hot and just awful humid. Same thing with today. But I am in my lavish professional podcaster studio, enjoying, I don't even have air, I have a fan in here, I don't have air conditioning, which is why I'm not in here very much, but it's early, so I'm not, it's not hot in here yet. Well, let's read our text this morning to get things started. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. As we talk about this idea of counterfeit Christianity and just what it is. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And I guess our text would be, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they do, comes not from the Father, but from the world. I think one of the most distasteful and unpleasant words in the human language, next to blackmail, is probably counterfeit. And we usually think of that which is counterfeit as being something purposely designed to deceive, like a counterfeit bill. Have you ever seen a counterfeit bill? I have. Just back when I was living in Canada, and I had a friend of mine who was on the police force, and we had a bunch of counterfeit money flood our city, and he was showing me the counterfeit ones, fives, and twenties, and I couldn't tell the difference. I could not. They felt the same. They looked the same. They smelled the same. I couldn't tell the difference until he showed me, and then the difference was obvious. But I could not tell the difference. So these counterfeit dollars are designed to deceive you. But I think devious than those who ply their counterfeiting trades in the marketplaces of the world are those guilty of counterfeiting in the spiritual realm. And the tragedy connected with this kind of counterfeiting is often the person or persons involved are victims rather than agents. For Satan is the master counterfeiter of all time, and he will seize a vulnerable person, deceiving them with his satanic wiles and victimize him in his business of counterfeiting spiritual realities. In the verses making up our text today, John becomes the great exposer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the essence of counterfeit Christianity. So let's break it down into two main parts. First of all, let's talk about this strange kind of love. Let's read verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, love for the Father is not in you. What world do you think John is talking about here? What do you think? He's not talking about the world of nature. He's not talking about the world of creation. That is, the system and order found in the physical creation. In the spring, the flowers bloom and the trees put out leaves. In the fall, the leaves begin to turn all kinds of gorgeous colors, like yellow and gold and brown. Then the leaves fall off and soon the winter comes. Okay, this is not the world that we are warned against loving. This is the world that God created for our enjoyment, right? So he's not talking about the beautiful world of creation. What he's talking about here is the world system. Let's put it that way, the world system. It's the sum total of human life, which is apart from God, alienated and hostile towards God. It's the amassed evil of those forces in the world which exist for the purpose of seducing people away from God and righteousness. You might think of our culture, for example. Our culture, our societal. You might have noticed, as I've noticed, that the world doesn't value the same things that God values. The Greek word here for world is cosmos, with a K. And like I said, it refers to the world system, the organized system, which is headed by Satan, which leaves God completely out of the picture and is most of the time in opposition to God. The thing which we need to hate today is the thing in the world which is organized against God. It's an ordered system. It's not a haphazard thing. A lot of it is religious and cultured and refined and intellectual. I had one of my Bible college teachers way back used to say that Satan is no Frankenstein monster. If you saw him, you'd be surprised at how handsome he is. So we're talking about the world system, and there is a world system that is in operation today, and it is satanic. John mentions this in his gospel, where Jesus says, let me see if I can find that reference. I was reading it just yesterday. It's John 14:30. Jesus says, "I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me," verse 31, "but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me." He is the exact opposite to Jesus Christ, the prince of this world. The prince of this world is satanic, and he is in charge of the world system. It belongs to him. He offered the kingdoms of this world to our Lord Jesus, right? I don't think he left out the United States when he made the offer. It belongs to him, and we are not to love this world system. John is thoroughly aware of the evil power of this world system. Throughout his gospel and his letters, John repeatedly deals with this subject. In his gospel, he tells us that the world is in the dark. And he quotes Jesus' word, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life," John 8:12. Yeah, the world is in the dark because it does not know God. It does not know Christ, and it does not know the Holy Spirit. Nor does the world know or understand the Christian. Did you know that? Did you know that? That's why, and I know that you have all experienced this. That's why, like when you're at church on Sunday and you're really touched by this, by the service, you hear something in the Bible, you hear something preached that you've never heard before, and it just blows you away. And then the next day you try to tell your friend at work what you heard in church, and they're not a Christian, and they have no clue what you're talking about. You're excited about it, but they just stand there, you know, gap jawed. They don't know what to think about what you're saying because they have no relationship to God or His Word. So what you're saying to that, it just doesn't make any sense. So do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, the Father, the love for the Father is not in you. So what kind of love for the world is John talking about? Well, I had to look this up. I was pretty sure I knew, but I had to look it up. And I was surprised. It's agape love. It's that divine self-sacrificial kind of love. This is an example of the way in which Satan is capable of counterfeiting that which is spiritual. Just as agape love in the Christian's heart will cause him to sacrifice himself before God, so the person who is victimized by Satan will sacrifice himself before the dazzling, the false brilliance of the world. I think a very sad example of this kind of life, this kind of love, is seen in the case of Demas, one of Paul's co-workers. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'll tell you what verse when you get there. Okay, are you there? 2 Timothy 4, beginning to read at verse 9. Here's Paul's personal remarks as he ends his letter. He says to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly." Why? Verse 10. "For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Yet Demas just took off. He just left Paul and went to Thessalonica, which is a far distance from where Paul was. Okay? Titus, or Crescens, I should say, went to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. I think that these other two, Crescens and Titus, I think they had a legitimate excuse for leaving Paul. They were carrying on his work, and they had to go to these places. Like, Paul probably sent Titus to Dalmatia to perform ministry on his behalf or something. And we don't know a whole lot about Crescens. But Demas is very clear. He loved this world. He was entranced by the world. He gave himself to the world, and he deserted Paul and went as far as he could go. And Thessalonica was far away from Paul at this time. Then Paul used the word agape to describe Demas's love for the world. So agape love kind of applies to different things. We often think of agape love as the kind of love that we should have for God, because that's the kind of love that he has for us. And agape love is the kind of love that we should have for God's people. We should love them without expecting anything in return, in other words. But it is possible for you to have agape love for the world, for the system of the world, where you give yourself over to that system. I mean, it's foolish. It doesn't make any sense. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that this world's system is quickly passing away. It's fading away even as we're looking at it. So why would you give yourself over to a system that is dying? Wouldn't you rather give yourself over to God, who is living and lives forever and offers you eternal life? Why would you want to give that up and go backwards into something that's fading away? Now, that's a good question. Now, in verse 16, John tells us about a strange manifestation of this love. So it's a strange love that loves the world, if you're a Christian. It's a strange love. Of course, a non-believer loves the world. What else does he have? He doesn't have anything else. But you always have the option. You can love God or you can love the world. The world's always trying to get you back, so you got to be on your guard against it. Verse 16, "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and do, comes not from the Father, but from the world." That's a very strange manifestation of this love. Again, in these words, we have a kind of a condensation of what comprises this world system, the cosmos. First, there's the desire to have. It's the lust of the flesh. It's the cravings of sinful people. The word in the Greek is flesh, and it refers to the totally depraved nature of man, which governs his reason, will, and emotions. So that's how the NIV has translated it, the cravings of sinful people. And just think about, what image does that put in your mind when someone is craving something? It's like they're hungry, they're craving chocolate, and they're going into their kitchen and they're pulling open all the drawers to find the leftover Halloween candy that didn't get given out. Oh, that might have been me the other day. So, but that's what a craving is, right? It's as desperately as a believer may try to please God, he simply cannot, because he's craving something that God's people do not crave. Romans 8:7-8, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So if you're busy craving the things of the world, you can't be loving God at the same time. One cancels the other out. Second, John talks about the lust of their eyes, the desire to have that which is first attractive to the eye. It can express itself in an inordinate desire for fine clothes, shoes, a new car, a more spacious home, even the power to control other people. The slaves of this sin worship the altar of mammon. And third, John talks about the pride of life. They're boasting about what they have and do. Pride of life. This is the desire to be someone or something. It's the same word in James 4:16, which is translated as bragging or boasting there. It amounts to the haughty, proud dependence upon one's own achievements and resources, or upon one's accumulation of wealth or intellectual superiority over the common man. These sins, by the way, they're always with us all the time. If you think for a moment that you don't have any problems with any of that, just wait, you will. I guarantee it. These sins are always nipping at your heel all the time. All the time. James chapter 1, let's read a couple of verses from there. I've referenced this verse earlier. Let's read it. James 1, verses 14 and 15. Let's start at verse 13 because verse 14 starts into a sentence. When tempted, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. It's good to remember that, by the way. But each of you is tempted when you're dragged away by Satan. No, that's not what it says, is it? It's not what it says at all. Each of you is tempted when you're dragged away by your own evil desire and enticed. And after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Okay, listen. In a sense, the desire itself is not a sin. Notice it says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Like, a desire for something is always going to pop into your head all the time. Like, you're going to see something that you want, and it's human nature. It's a desire. You want that. You want that new thing, that new toy. You want to be with that new person or whatever. Okay, that's very, very natural. And the desire itself is not a sin. But if you dwell on that desire, it won't be long before that desire gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. There is no other end to death than sin. There just isn't. It's just what's going to happen. So that's a powerful verse. Each one of you is tempted when you are dragged away by your own evil desire and enticed. You'll have those desires all the time for your whole life. You're never going to be free from contrary desires. But don't let that desire take root in your head and your heart. If you do, you'll be enticed. That desire will get stronger. It will conceive and give birth to sin in your heart. So don't give it space in your mind, all right? As I say, those kinds of sins that we're looking at back in 1 John, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, the boasting about what they have and do, those things are always going to be with you. And they don't come from the Father, but from the world. And you don't want to have anything to do with the world, because as verse 17 says, the world and its desires are passing away. Literally, at this very moment, they are passing away. They are fading away before your very eyes. Even though it looks like they're still there, they're really passing away. That's kind of a summary statement that John gives us there in verse 17. All right? It's a futile show. It's futile. It's like you're watching something that isn't real. It's a counterfeit. So when you're watching worldly people apparently being joyful and happy and just, oh, feeling like they don't have a, looking like they don't have a care in the world and all this and that. That's a counterfeit. The people of the world don't have anything, I mean, except for sin, but they don't have joy. They don't have peace. They don't have happiness or contentment or satisfaction. They don't have anything like that legitimately. You can legitimately possess those things through your relationship with God the Father. He will make sure that you have all of those things. In spite of the glitter and the appeal of the world, it just doesn't last. The world is slowly dying and it's headed for destruction. The one who keeps on doing the will of God because it has become his lifestyle will stand forever. That's right. You, my friend, are going to outlast this world if you're living for and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what counterfeit Christianity is. It's something that promises to give you that which only Christ can give you in a relationship with him. The world will do its best to convince you that it can give you what only God can give you. But in the end, if you take it up, you'll be disappointed. You might as well just stay with the Lord. Okay, 27 minutes past the hour. It's time to carry on with our Friday. Folks, I want to thank you for tuning in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to the Panic Podcast. I really appreciate it. I hear from comments and from emails that you enjoy these studies. Thank you. I appreciate it. We do them not because I love talking into a microphone all the time. I don't like to hear myself at all. I do it because I want to help you. I want to help you to grow in the faith. And truth be told, as I teach these studies, I'm growing in my faith too. The best way to learn something is to teach it. So it's very selfish. So thank you for tuning in Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays to the Panic Podcast. Thank you for watching 3 Minutes with Mike every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And don't forget about our video sermon coming your way on Sunday morning. We are in the midst of our series, Modern Messages from the Minor Prophets. And if I'm not mistaken, this Sunday we're going to be looking at the prophet Zephaniah. It's a prophet that almost nobody has ever heard of, but his 3-chapter book there is in the Old Testament. Look it up. We'll be looking at that on Sunday morning. But don't forget, just because you can watch a sermon at home on Sunday on your phone or your TV or your tablet, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go to church. If you're a Christian, my friend, you belong in church on Sunday. So get out to church. If not my church, then find a good church in your community that preaches and teaches the Word of God. All right? That's it for today, folks. Thank you so much. God bless you. I pray that the Lord will just continue to walk with you and that you walk with Him. God bless you. Stay safe. Stay healthy till we can meet together again. And we'll see you again soon. Bye for now.